Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15. And we're going to read together verses 11 through 24 and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Keep Me From Going Astray. Keep me from going astray. Saints of God, last week we expounded the self-righteous son. Remember, this is the story of the prodigal son. And in the story, there's three people that are mentioned in this story. There's the father and the two sons. Last week we expounded on the self-righteous son who had no grace, he had no mercy. He was jealous. We saw all the things. He resented the one that was lost that came home. Okay? So this morning's message is we're going to expound on the wanderer, the one, the prodigal son, the one that wandered away. And we're going to hopefully expound and also examine that we have a tendency to do the same thing. But it's only God's grace that he keeps us in his perfect will. Can I get an amen? So let's all stand and read these scriptures together and then we can be seated. If you didn't have a Bible, we got the Word of God on the screen up here. Amen? Let's read. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them in his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with loose living. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Hopefully, next week, by the grace of God, we're going to be expounding on the Father. Last week, we expounded on the self-righteous son that always was in the household of faith. He never left. He never wandered. He never backslid. But we saw in the Word of God, he had very little mercy or grace for those who wandered off and that would come back home. So now we're going to isolate this message regarding the wanderer, the one who decided to leave and to go and live a loose type of living. So, the condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. Always remember that. It's the condition of your heart. Wherever your heart is, Jesus says, that's where your treasure will be. So, if your heart is toward the things of God, your treasure is built around the kingdom of God and the things of God. But if your heart is caught up in the world, then the things of the world are going to be more precious to you than the things of heaven, than the things of God. So always remember that it's wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Can I get amen? Saints, this is a very important issue because there are really only two directions in life, and they go in opposite ways and lead to opposing destinies. You can either walk toward the Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life or away from him and find eternal death. And the determining factor is the state of your spirit. So in this parable, saints, of the prodigal son, the character descriptions could represent each and every one of us. We could be living a sinful lifestyle like the younger brother, be self-righteous and unforgiving like the older brother, or have a merciful heart like the father in the parable. This story is the last of three consecutive parables that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees in response to the grumbling against him for his mercy toward sinners. This is what I love about Jesus, is he got involved in the lives of those who had sinned before God. Jesus didn't come after the self-righteous because they have no need for a doctor. They felt like everything in their life was all right. But he came to the common people. I like to say it like this. He went into the barrios. He went into the highways and the byways to find us. Can I get amen? Amen. I don't think none of us grew up in Rancho Santa Fe. Can I get amen? Hey, listen, I've been on a real estate tour over there. $40, $50 million homes. All the amenities, swimming pools going in from outside into the living room, horse stables and basketball courts and movie theaters. We grew up on 1927 Orange Street, 3-bedroom, 1-bath, and 11 brothers and sisters to boot. And a whole bunch of critters. Oh, yeah. We understood. We understood that the little that we had to deal with it. Can I get amen? And listen, when food was cooked for dinner, we sprinted to the table. Because if you missed dinner, it was gone. It was gone. But there were three parables in this chapter, and one of them was this. Let's look at this. In Luke 15, 1 and 2. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You see, these self-righteous. You know, some of them walk around with their nose up like this, and they look down at you. They look down at me. But Jesus, he humbly came to them because he saw that we were lost, that we needed a Savior. We needed someone, hallelujah, to save us from our sin. And so these people are the only ones in Scripture that Jesus had a problem with. In the Scriptures, he calls them vipers and snakes, whitewashed tombs. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would stand in the corners and say, "Oh, I feed the poor and I give my tithe," and inside they're corrupt. So, there's three stories in this chapter. One of them is what? A lost sheep. And so, let's read the word. So, he spoke this parable to them saying, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing." He was trying to let these religious folks know that these sinners that I'm sitting amongst are lost. And I came to save and seek those which were lost. And so Jesus is talking about, I left the throne of heaven to come and seek each and every one of you out, because he saw that our condition was lost. And when he found us, he was rejoicing. Because when we got saved, we rejoiced. Can I get amen? Come on. We rejoiced when we got saved. And then he talks about another story. Oh, let's look at this. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. What?
Amen.
Come on. That's great joy in heaven. When one sinner repents. Look at this. I say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. He was speaking directly to the religious folks, to the self-righteous. Listen, I remember when I came to Christ, I was, like Brother G says it, I was toe up from the flow up. But the heavens rejoiced when I cried out and I called upon his name. The name that's above all names. There's only one name that could save us. And his name is what?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
He's the only one that can save us.
Amen.
My goodness. Here's the second story. A lost coin. Oh, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So if you think finding that silver was all that, just imagine when one, just one, cries out, a soul cries out to God. The whole heaven, your name is shouted across the bowels of heaven.
Hallelujah.
My son, my daughter has come home. Wow. You know, until you really look deep in the Word and truly understand what Jesus was trying to convey to his audience, the self-righteous, they'll never get it unless God gives you ears to hear and eyes to see. You have to have God's grace and mercy. Can I get an amen? And then we're going to focus on this character, the lost son. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them in his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. In the Living translation is loose living. Since the Word of God is true, can we believe that? We can trust that the guidance and the warnings he gives in this illustration of a lost son are accurate and should be heeded. Can I get amen? If we head down this path that the younger son chose, we can be certain that we too will meet a similar outcome, even though we can't see it at the moment. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Because Jesus said it like this. He said it best. If you look across this nation right now, there are very few churches. We are so blessed to be numbered with those churches who actually believe this scripture I'm going to show you right now. It's right up here in Matthew. Look at this. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who what? Find it. Listen, there's only a small percentage of people who believe God's word that's going to enter in. And we are blessed. We are blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are blessed. Come on. Tell your neighbor, we are blessed. You know why? Because God has shown us that narrow path. Can I get an amen? He has shown us that narrow path. That's right. Listen, look what just happened this week. The state of New York, they're rejoicing over terminating a full-grown baby at 9 months. They can terminate it now. That is murder. Those folks, lest they repent, will be going and walking down the broad gate. Help us, God. We are pro-life here. Can I get amen? We are for life. There's a demonic spirit across the land trying to kill off the human race. Why? Because the devil hates what God's created. God created us in the image and likeness of His Son. We are the image of God, and the devil's trying to stamp it all out. Let me kill this child before he has an opportunity to be somebody. Jesus, help us. And so we need to look now. What steps did this son take to go down this path? What was it? Last week we looked at all the things that the self-righteous, you know, that self-righteous one, remember I told you he had all these things on his back, right? He was so heavy. He was so heavy walking like this, and yet he was still pointing. He was still pointing the faults of someone. He had all these things on his back. So, let's look at the downward steps of the prodigal son. This is to help us guard our heart. Can I get an amen? Because we don't have to go down this path. God has put this in His Word as a safeguard, as a wall, as a protection that we don't cross over. Because once we cross over this, it'll become downward. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got. We can fall just no differently from this son. So, number one, it starts with a desire. Now, how many believe desire is not really a bad thing? We should all desire to love each other and to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind, right? That's a wonderful attribute, desire. But it's the direction of that desire is what determines the outcome. Saints, this young man's heart was filled with desire for freedom. He had begun to view life in his father's house as restrictive. Therefore, he asked his father for his share of his estate. He goes, I don't want to abide by these rules. I want out. No. You know, I want to live life my own way. And so despite the fact that the inheritance was normally received after his death, the father's death, this father compiled with his son's request, he complied. He goes, okay. And he gave him the portion of his estate. So, the first thing that came was a desire. And then, after he obtained his desire, he made a decision. He made a decision. So, shortly thereafter, the son decided to leave home to pursue his desires unhindered. One of Satan's goals, I need you to hear this, saints. One of Satan's goals is to convince us that having our own way and leaving God's restrictions behind is the beginning of real life. Oh, it's better out there. Yeah. Oh, man, you need to get out of God's house. There's a bunch of hypocrites in there. You know, I saw a cartoon image where the world was throwing rocks over the wall and trying to peg all the Christians, right? And then the Christians were picking them up and throwing them at each other. And so the world sometimes looks at the church as hypocrites. But we need to be strong in the Lord and the power. We need to show the world the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look what, you see, this son, he had a desire, and then he made a decision. But the decision he made sometimes doesn't line up with God's word. Can I get amen? Sometimes our decisions doesn't line up with God's word. That's why when we make a decision, let's check with God first. How many want to check with God first?
Right.
All right. Look what Proverbs says right up here. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Wow. Not all decisions are good decisions, huh? That's why we got to check with God. Make sure that whatever you're entering in, number one, God is with you. God gave you the green light. God said, okay. I like to put it real plainly like this. Every now and then I'll go on a diet, right? You know, we all struggle with diets. It's a roller coaster ride. So here I am. Let's just say I'm on a vegan diet. I'm doing well. So I walk into a donut store to order a Diet Coke. I'm just tempting myself now, right? Why even go in there? Look at this right up here. Many are the plans in a man's heart. Look at that. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I'd rather let God choose the right plan for me. Can I get an amen? And so this prodigal son, he had a desire. He made a decision. And once he made that decision, he made a departure. I'm gone. I'm going to step out now. Man, I don't want to be under my father's restrictive rules. You know, all those hallelujahs over there. You know, all these folks in here. Man, I'm just going to go do my thing. Okay. Let me just say this, saints. That's God's grace when he lets you depart. He doesn't strike us on the head with a ball of lightning. God says, go ahead, go. But he's always right there waiting for you to turn back to him. That's the grace of God. That's God's mercy right there. That just because we made a decision that wasn't his, he could just do this to us. Bam, I'm done with you. You know when you see a cucaracha on the crawling, man, bam, man. I don't want this on my foot. Boom. He could have done that with us. But is he a merciful God? Is he a wonderful God? So the prodigal departed. He departed. So the son went away to a far country, the Bible says. For our purposes, we can consider a far country as anywhere we choose to go outside of God's will. It don't have to be in China that we go to. It don't have to be in the Middle East we go to. It's somewhere where God forbids us to go. And we go there anyway. That's a far country. It could be a block away or across the globe because it speaks the condition of the heart, not the location of our bodies. Remember that. It's the location of the heart. Listen to this, saints. The devil stirs up discontent by pointing out what we are missing in life. Then he paints us a picture of the good life that awaits us if we'll follow him. However, he always omits the end result of a life of sinful indulgence. He don't tell you the end. You know, he doesn't tell you that drinking a gallon of vodka once a week, that within a couple of years that you have cirrhosis now of the liver, and there are 1,000 people waiting for that liver transplant, and you're on the bottom. He doesn't paint that picture for you. Listen, how many believe that the enemy is, he's truly out to kill us? Jesus would never have put it in his word. He said it perfectly right here in John. Look at this. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. This is why Jesus came into our life, to give us abundant life. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, we can bypass all that's out there and walk in God's grace and his love. Hallelujah. And walk in his power, walk in the anointing of God. Can I get amen? Amen. Look what it says in Matthew right up here. You see, all these people in high places. You know what I saw? It blew me away. How many know who John Podesta is? Okay, one person. He was part of the Hillary campaign. He's on record. You can Google it. He threw up his hands right before New York allowed the latest term abortion now. On his hands was 14 and a fish here, because they're all into Satanism. And he threw up the sign saying, it is on. It is on. They have one goal. Number one, to get rid of Trump, because Trump has surrounded himself with over 100 pastors and that are praying for our nation. They want him out, and they want to bring in all these ungodly things now in our country. Why? Because there's an agenda. There's an agenda. And so these wealthy people in high places, the devil says, I'll give you everything if you worship me. You got to remember, listen, Jesus is going to take possession of the earth again when he comes back the second time. During his time on earth, he came to die for us. He came to shed his blood for us. He came to save us. He didn't come to set up his kingdom yet. And so look what the devil told him. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I give to you. Wait a minute. How could he say that? Because the word of God says, the prince of Palatine, the god of this earth, of this world, is Satan. And the Holy Spirit has come from heaven to make us come alive. So we're all walking around on this earth, but yet it hasn't been changed yet. The Bible says the earth is groaning for the change, meaning all creation is, it's like we can't wait for Jesus to come. Why? Because we'll have a new body. The lion and the lamb will lay together. You can put your hand in a snake hole and you don't have to worry about getting bit by a venomous snake. But right now, sin is in this land, in this world. And we are still in this sinful body. But the proof of God's word is the Spirit of God that lives in us. He has deposited his down payment within us. That's what gives us our hope. But so right now, the king and the god of this world is Satan. Look right here. It says, all these things I give if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him and only you shall serve. He had to rebuke him with the word of God. And so when the devil comes to you, bind him and rebuke him in the word of God. Can I get amen? Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You got to tell the devil he is a liar and the father of lies. You tell the devil, I'm a child of God, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. I've been anointed. I've been approved. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. By the Lord God himself. And so you got to use the word against the devil. You got to use the word against these things that come against us. Can I get an amen? And so he wanted to give Jesus, who would years later would come to set up his kingdom. See, this is what's going to happen. When Jesus finally comes back, he's gonna bind up old Slewfoot. And he's going to cast them in the lake of fire. That's right. And the earth will be freed once again. Right now, the earth is in bondage. That's why there's death. Well, Jesus is going to do away with it all. But we're going to live with the King forever. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So saints with plenty of money to fuel the prodigal son's desires, the young man set off to enjoy the pleasures of sin. In a far country, there would be no one to hold him accountable. So he could do whatever he pleased. But God sees everything and will one day hold each person accountable. Did you know that? You see, until Jesus changes all things, as we talked about, this is what takes place 24/7 across the world, right up here. It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. If a person dies without Christ and they close their eyes, they are immediately before God in judgment. That's what God's word says right here. Listen, don't throw tomatoes at me. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail this morning. God said it in his world. So look, he had, the first thing he had was what? A desire. Then he had a decision to make. Then he departed. And then, as he departed, he was deceived. Deception. That came in. He was totally deceived. The prodigal son fell for the devil's lies without considering the consequences that would inevitably follow. He squandered all the money with loose living. Life looked good for the moment. Just for the moment. You listen, I would be lying to you if I told you that sin wasn't fun. Yeah, it's fun for a season. And then it shows its ugly head. Boo! Peek-a-boo. Look at you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It says right here. Look at this. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far, and there wasted his possessions with loose living. And so look, he got involved with all these kind of folks I'm going to show you right now. Every one of them. Because the Bible says loose living is opposite of living for God. It's contrary. Okay? So we're going to learn something today. But this is where he went to be a monk. He just didn't go out and, you know, oh, I'm just not in my father's house. I'm going to the devil's house. And I'm going to squander everything that God has given me with these folks. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. He was deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Ouch! No one's teaching us this no more. You won't hear this in all churches. You know why? We don't want to lose partitioners. We don't want to lose congregants. Listen, I'd rather stand before God and say, God, I gave them your word. Amen. They do with what they want to do with it, God. But I don't want to be accountable not telling you the truth. Because this is where this son went to be amongst all them. And he spent all his money with them there. But the Bible says, but such were some of you. Now we've been what? Washed. We've been cleansed. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We've been saved by the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, Lord.
You and I can rejoice that God plucked us out of this group. Here, I'm going to take you, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to do something beautiful in your life. And I'm going to raise you up, and people are going to see that there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. That lives inside you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. This prodigal had to get beat up in the world. He had to pound his head against the wall several times. And then he had to dig and said, man, the money's going away. It's fading away. After all these things that his father did for him. And now, after a person is out there for a little while, and things ain't going like they should, then the mind starts wandering. It's just wandering. Where do I go from here now? What did I do? Why? And the last thing is to have your head in the cabinet, not listening to people that will help you. You'll close off everything because you're wandering in your mind and your heart. You're bewildered at this point. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Saints, the problem with living for our own pleasures is that the novelty soon wears down. It wears thin. The enjoyment we once experienced diminishes as we discover that sin's satisfaction is temporary. In an attempt to regain the pleasure, we may wander from one experience to the next, only to discover that there is no lasting pleasure in sin. Can I get an amen? There's no long-lasting pleasure. For us, we can look at God's word and agree. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Wow. Oh, God, help us. So now, after his wandering, he made the decision, he departed, he had all these desires, he went wandering now, then another attribute kicks in. It's wanting. I need to get right now. He's wanting now to get right. He's wanting to go back home. He doesn't like where he's at no more. He wants to just go home. He had it better in the house of God under the quote-unquote restrictions. He went wanting. He wanted now. The young man found that not only was his satisfaction wanting, but his funds were diminished. Following his desires left him bankrupt and friendless. All his buddies left. You know, all that money he was squandering. Yeah, man, look, man, come on. Yeah, and then now there was nothing left. They all jetted on him. They bailed on him. Oh, man, you ain't got nothing. Look at you. Look at your life. Ooh. Oh, that's not happened to us, huh? To make matters worse, a famine came to the land, causing a scarcity of food. You see, saints, Satan never reveals the outcome of the following from temptations because his goal is to destroy and ruin people's lives. His path to pleasure is littered with broken homes, lives, and the bodies of those who believed him. And then he takes a step back and he laughs. Ha, 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 ha. My goodness. You see, we can all identify somehow, some way with this prodigal. Look at it like this. If God chose us before the foundation of the world, it's not so much that we were in church and then we left church. No, if he has chosen you, He went out to get us, to bring us in the household of God. Can I get an amen? There's two ways to look at this. That's right. So Jesus came for purpose. Remember, he went and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by the devil himself. Why? Because he had to pass that test. And once he passed that test, he came in with the anointing of God and he preached this from the pulpit. This was his very first sermon. He said in Luke, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of the sight of blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." That's you and I. We were all clumped up in here somehow. And Jesus says, "I've come for you. I've come for you. I've come for you to set you free." Thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Come on, somebody got to give him a shout of praise. You got to be thankful that he set you free. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. The world cannot say this yet. One day they will. But they need to see your life totally transformed by the power of God. So that, because they'll never come to a Sunday morning. They'll never come to a Wednesday night. So the only Jesus they're going to see is your life. Because there's something different about you, brother. There's something different about you, sister. What is it? And then God opens the door. And then you could preach Jesus to them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So in desperation, the prodigal son, he came to himself. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country and found himself in the lowest place. Check it out. Remember, this is a Jewish man. Hey, he ended up feeding the pigs with these thrown out corn husks. And guess what? It looked like carne asada to him at that moment. Now, these weren't the corn husks you find at Del Mar Fair. You know, the kind you could throw on, you know, the cheese and the butter, you know, and some of that chili powder on it. It wasn't those kind. He was so hungry, even the pods he gave to the pig started to look good to him. Sometimes, saints, it takes the direst of circumstances to open up blinded eyes. It takes for someone to go that low so that they can look up. No matter how many people may have warned him of the dangers of heading down this path, he couldn't see the foolishness of his choices until he came to the end of his road. That's when the young man came to his senses. And I love how Jesus put this in the Word. Because every now and then, you're going to find someone that you know, someone in your family, a friend, a co-worker, that's going to come to the end of their road. And they're going to need Jesus. It says right here, but when he came to himself, say that with me. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He was in dire straits. He was in desperate mode. He had nowhere to go no more. He was hungry. Saints, the path of pleasure, which eventually leads to desperation, has taken many people who rejected the warnings given by family and friends. And like the prodigal son, they find themselves in the figurative pig pens today, deprived of resources and dignity. And so, my question is, how could something that looked so good in the beginning turn so bad? It's always that way when God is left out of the picture. When you kick God out of this country, we get a country infested with demons. When you kick God out of your home becomes chaotic. You kick God out of your heart, and you become the wandering person on this earth. However, no matter how far someone has gone from the Lord, or how deep he or she has fallen, God never stops loving and seeking the lost. Can I get amen?
Amen.
This is the hope that we have with God. No matter how dire it looks, no matter what we've done, we can know in the scripture right up here, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the hope that we have. He won't leave us in a place of destitute. He will come and save us and bring us to a place of prominence with him. The Old Testament said in Ezekiel, I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Those are the ones. So he came to this final point I'm making, and we'll close. He came to make a decision. Remember, he decided first to go. Now he's come to the end of his rope. He had to make now another decision. So after the prodigal son came to his senses, the prodigal son decided to go back to his father. Full of shame and guilt, he planned his confession and he left home. This is the only solution for anyone who wants to come home to God. The feelings of shame, guilt, and conviction are the result of the Holy Spirit's work as he draws each prodigal back to the Heavenly Father. There's a little bit of what we have to do, huh? It's called humility. It's called humbling ourselves. Oh God, I've sinned. Oh God, forgive me. When God looks at that, he pours out forgiveness. He pours out grace. He pours out mercy. Acts says it best. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Listen, this morning when we were worshiping God, the presence of God was all upon us. Why? It's because we're the people of God. He has given us grace and mercy. We're here to rejoice. We're here to say, thank you, God, what you've done in our lives. Thank you for saving us. He has poured out upon us his love. God is willing to forgive everyone who comes to him in humble repentance, confessing their sin, relying on the blood of Christ for cleansing, receiving him as Lord and Savior by faith, and surrendering themselves to the Lord. Just as the prodigal son was welcomed home by his father, so God will welcome all who call on the name of the Lord for salvation. There was no reluctance on the father's part, but to embrace and clothe his young son and celebrate his homecoming. Saints, some of us have wayward family members and friends. And when they come running to God, clothe them with love. Welcome them home. Don't do what the other son did.
Wait a minute. You deserved it, man.
We're easy to do that. It's so much a little tougher to clothe them with love and embrace them and receive them. And this is exactly how the Lord God welcomes all who come to him. Even those who have made a mess of their lives. There's nothing to lose. And how many believe there's everything to gain? So I close with our questions. And praise God. You know, I'm looking at each and every one of you in here. You are all precious in the sight of the Lord. You are all God's created children. And He loves each and every one of you with a love that you and I cannot comprehend. Look at your life from birth to now and all the love He has poured out upon you since birth. With all of our fumbles and our stumbles and all of our mistakes, He's still right there with us to tell us how much He loves us. And that I want to cleanse you and keep you. I want the best for your life. You don't have to live a life of debauchery no more. I have opened up the gates of heaven so that you could be seated now in heavenly places. Thank you, God. We've been privileged to come into the house of God and to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So number one, what is the condition of your heart today? What is it, saints? I like to say it, that we're walking in the grace of God, the mercy of God, and we're on His side. Can I get an amen? We're with Jesus. Number two, are you drawing closer to God or running away from Him? Where are you at right now? And I'm also speaking to those who are listening on the internet right now. Those who plug in. Where are you at right now? I'm here to let you know that God will always pursue you. He will always chase after you. He'll never give up on you. Aren't you so blessed that He doesn't give up? He's not a quitter. Some of us quit on things in life, huh? Some of us quit. I'm done. Jesus doesn't do that with us. He pursues us till our last breath. Thank you, God. Number three, have you ever been reluctant to return to the Lord after a season of wandering because you were embarrassed or feared that you had made too big a mess of your life? I've been there. And you know what you have to push through? Shame and guilt. Once you push through that, on the other side of shame and guilt is mercy and grace. Come on. Mercy and grace is on the other side of that wall. You just push through. No. I made a mess of it. Oh, God, I need you now. He's right there to clothe you with His righteousness. He's right there ready to forgive you and bless your life. And lastly, how does the story of the prodigal son contradict that perception? The only contradiction is for someone to say, I don't believe this story. But for the household of faith, we all believe this story, don't we? Because we can find ourselves in any one of these categories. And yet God's grace has saved us. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your awesome love and mercy and grace toward each and every one of us. Thank You for dying on the cross. Thank You that there's forgiveness of sins by the blood of the Lamb. Thank You that we can humbly yet boldly come before the throne room of grace and cry out for mercy, and You are there always for us. You are our only advocate. You're the only attorney in heaven, hallelujah, that doesn't charge us by the hour. You are always there for us to plead our case. And then, After you've heard our case, you go sit in the judge's seat and you forgive us of our sins. Only you can do these great and mighty things in our life. And we are so mighty thankful to you, Lord Jesus. But I'm praying for someone. Maybe they've never received you as Lord and Savior. Maybe someone's listening. Maybe someone's here. I don't know. But God knows. And I'm here to let you know that He wants to love you and forgive you and bless your life. He wants to take you farther with Him than you've ever gone. He wants to show you more of His love. And if you're here or listening, we want to pray this prayer with you by faith. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them praise and glory to hell. Is he worthy? Come on, someone shout, Jesus. Jesus. Come on, one more time. Jesus. Man, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I get an amen?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the